Alex once again with ESU Newsflash. This is episode 46, titled to be determined. Someone say something funny tonight, and we'll get a title going.
No pressure.
I hope.
Yeah. once again, I am joined by James Tutarns. What's going on, James?
Hello. Life's good.
Life is good.
I'm here with you guys, so that's cool.
Yeah. Hype.
I'm getting hype now.
Good hype. All right. We have Holly hiding behind James. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Holly.
If you're watching this on Twitch right now, she just saw her head pop out. So, how's it going, Holly? Doing good?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Busted sleeves. Sean is here as well.
How's it going?
LSU in the house.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if that's a thing or not, but sure.
It's whatever you want, man.
It's not anything I want, actually.
Well, then done.
All right. And we also have Steven Spellpierce. How's it going, Steven?
Going pretty well.
Excellent. So, yeah. We were giving the whole live episode stream another go again. And, yeah. So, we got, I'm assuming, a great episode in store for you guys. If you're in the pre-show, you've already heard some of the shenanigans. We're talking about all of our pre-release experiences from the weekend. The Eldritch Moon impact on Standard. The updates, or lack of, to the ban list for all Magic formats. And also, we got a spoiler of the San Diego Comic-Con Planeswalkers for this year as well. We're talking about those for a minute. I know James is hyped about those as well.
I'm semi-hype about them.
Yeah, we'll get to why.
I'm not going to explain my opinion yet.
Yeah, we can't get spoilers out.
Yeah.
No spoilers. All right. So we're going to try to focus our attention on the camera. I'm going to try to sit in the frame at the same time. Yeah, if you're not watching right now, EOT or twitch.tv/EOTNewsflash. And you can watch us make faces at the camera.
I mean, it's only us watching right now, so we're good. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
I could just like, yeah.
Well, this is recorded.
We know. Yeah.
I mean, you could just do that, right?
Yeah, I could.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so this weekend, or last week, I should say, was the Eldritch Moon pre-release. We all played in at least one, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And let's see, I played in a midnight one. Steven played in a midnight one. Played in a 10:30 one with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Steven, you played in a 2 John one as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With your girlfriend?
Yep.
Shout out to Lydia?
Yes.
Yep. Did you guys win?
We actually got second. We made everyone play it out, and then we lost the last one, but it was because at a pre-release.
You screwed up, didn't you?
No. Our opponents sideboarded in the finals because it's an open construction, so.
You can't do that. Two-headed giant.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure you can because it's open constructed.
No, yeah.
Open construction at pre-releases.
Change your deck.
You can change your deck at any time.
From round to round. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So if they saw their deck beforehand, then they can adjust their decks accordingly.
Yep. Wow.
And their sideboard cards beat ours.
Cutthroat, two-headed.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, and they like asked us at the start. It's like, is it cool we sideboard? It's like, it's a pre-release. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. And they did it. And I was like, okay, why not?
You kind of missed the point of what
I
said.
Yeah. But there wasn't an invitation to do as such. But sure, go ahead. Bring in your very narrow removal spells.
I mean, I guess it's okay. A pre-release is open to interpretation
of
what that means. You know, it's on one hand, it's like you're really going to try hard, Mary.
Well, to be fair, we made top four play it out. So, like, we were try-harding a bit
as well. They were just getting back to you. So, let's answer that question then. What is a pre-release to you guys? I mean, if you open Emrakul, do you just play Emrakul?
Mm-hmm.
For James, the answer is yes.
I opened and played Emrakul this pre-release.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you still want to, like, so, like, as a pre-release, you treat it like an FNM. Like, I build the best deck I can, I play as tight and competitively as I can.
Yeah.
And whenever I run against people I know don't really know much of what they're doing, I'm a lot less, like, I'm not calling judge a lot. I'm like, there's rewinds that I've allowed happen.
Oh, for sure.
At a pre-release level. Like, whenever I know it, I'd get rewinded by a judge anyway.
Yeah.
Or, like, if I have an opponent that obviously is still learning the game and they do something wrong, I'll explain, like, you should have probably done it this route.
Yeah.
After it resolves.
I put a guy at my midnight pre-release that literally was floating mana through every one of his turns. Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, he's like, well, I tap my mana. Well, he would tap his mana, then say, okay, I'm going to attack now. I'm like, okay. And now I'm going to play this creature. Like, okay, I understand what you're trying to do, but here's how we actually need to do that.
He's tapping main phase one and then trying to use it main phase two?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, he was only playing a spell, and it didn't affect anything at all. Like, hey, man, this is how this actually needs to work.
Yeah.
That doesn't work unless you have one very specific card.
Like, I had an opponent who, at one point, I won the series still, but, like, he goes to attack, and I have three creatures. And so I'm, alright, I'm gonna block with these two creatures. And then he plays an instant speed spell to kill both of those creatures. One of the escalate ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so you take this damage. I go, that's not how it works.
No.
He's like, if you let me block first, then they're blocked. Unless I say I have trample, I don't take the damage. He was like, oh, well, I knew you were gonna block those two, so I'm gonna kill them beforehand. I didn't realize that was how it worked. I'm like, okay, this is how it's gonna work. Because we're gonna rewind it. Do you want to kill these guys before I go to blocks?
Yeah.
And he said yes. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm not blocking with this important creature because obviously I wasn't going to block with it, so I'll take the damage. It was a guy, like, you could tell, like, he just didn't really know. Whenever you teach new players to play, they always don't understand, like, but if I killed it before damage, why do you not still take damage? Like, people don't understand that. Yep. So because I had to, like, rewind it and explain
phases
it.
Of the turn matter.
But because I could tell he was new, I was like, I'm not going to say this is how it worked. We're going to rewind it and give you a second shot at it, and then if you do it again, then we'll say it sticks like that.
Yeah. One of the things I think you mentioned, James, when we were actually at the pre-release, is that you never see as many old-school Magic players and new-school players just come out of the woodwork and then come in, you know, with the... I would maybe the grinders and the casual players.
Yeah, yeah.
You get such a wide variety of players, you know, at there. So you're going to have to situations like that. Yeah. Someone who tries to play a four-color deck and with all basics and, yeah.
And according to our local Facebook page, there's a lot of people who are going to rules ninja those people, and I hate them as human beings. Yeah. And there's others who are going to realize this is how we actually keep our tournaments actually firing. So
how many did we have at the Common Grounds pre-release on Saturday morning? Like,
pretty good.
50 people? No,
yeah,
more than 50.
60.
It wasn't the biggest, but it was really good.
Yeah. It was very, very full.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like... So, just at pre-release, like Sean said with FNM, like, there's a lot of times where I'll look at my opponent and shrug and just say, it's FNM, and let, you know, go ahead and do things the right way.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Yeah. So, real quick before we talk about, you know, individual cards and all that, so was there a big underperformer or performer as far as mechanics went for you guys? So obviously the new mechanics were Escalate, Emerge, and Meld. I think that's all of them.
No one ever successfully melded against me. I had a couple people try, but I was able to interrupt the rats.
I melded the rats on midnight, and I lost.
That mechanic is like a build your own 2-for-1, which is a little dangerous, especially in limited, because there's like even if you build the big one of Giselle and Bruna, it shuts off spells 3 or less. Well, a lot of the removal in the format is 4 or more. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of kill spells are 4 or more.
Yep.
So the meld seems weird. Escalate was insane to me.
Super scary.
I was getting blown up by Escalates left and right.
Yeah, Busted Alliance is probably one of the best ones to have in whites. Just untap some guys, kill those, kill your attacking creature, gain 4 life, and just combat gets really ridiculous for you. So, did any of you guys actually see any meld cards in action? Because it is functionally and logistically very weird. I got the rats to do it, and it's weird because I had to pull them out of the sleeves and turn them over and put them up, and then actually attacking with them was the hardest thing to do. Because they wouldn't quite stay, and I'm really anal about it, so I was trying to like get them perfectly lined the entire time, and they were a bit off, and it's weird.
That's so right. I gotta take it back and fix this.
I did sit next to a guy who opened Bruna in his pool, and I opened Gisella in my midnight pool, and so we were doing like the DBZ fusion dance with them, and it was fusion, and like making like crazy like angel noises. It was entertaining.
You spend your nights how you want to, man.
I was halfway awake.
What are crazy angel noises?
Well, it was like sort of like fusion.
I've never thought of anything like this.
That's an angel.
Why do you have to prompt him, man?
Well, I just wanted. I was
because
curious.
I'm not afraid to do voices of cards, James.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should be.
No shame. No shame.
Oh, that Savage Alliance Escalate card, though, was probably like the biggest blowout non-rare.
The blue, the white one?
The red one that deal 2 damage to a creature, deal 1 to their whole board. Your dude's trample. Like, that card was.
Yeah.
So, meld pretty underwhelming, I would say, across the board. There's only 6 cards in the entire set that actually do anything with it.
There's 3 flip sides.
3 flip sides. So you have 2 at common, 2 at rare, 1 at mythic and rare. Mm-hmm. And I saw online some people who actually pulled off the Gisella Bruno combo, which is pretty sweet. But they had 2 Gisella in their pool, so it takes some.
I'm still putting an asterisk next to that.
I don't know.
Whenever they were listing off their pool, I was like, that pool sounds very.
I don't know. You can go. I think it was either Maria or Megan over at Magic the Amateurian. They posted a picture of their pool. It was pretty hot.
I don't honestly know them, so I assume that they're a liar, and I don't have any faith whatsoever.
Okay,
that's how we're gonna go about it.
I don't associate with Sean anymore. Megan and Maria, still love you guys. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, man. I do.
I'll play Magic.
That's funny. To be fair, if I knew them, I would still assume they're a liar. If Steven came and said, I opened this pool, I'm like, oh, that's sweet liar. Awesome.
I opened Futurama Ghost and Modern at a Las Vegas GP. No, you didn't.
Exactly.
Okay. So I melded the rats and whatever the other Midnight Scavengers. I melded it, and I think so at the place in the game I was in, it was only bad because I'd like gotten stuck on like a two land keep and got stuck for like two turns. So like it was only bad in that situation because I was in a bad spot in the game otherwise. But
sure.
It actually like I almost dug out of that game thanks to that and then ultimating Liliana, so
nice.
Okay. So I have two things that happened for me.
Oh, so I was
it
in a war
me get to
and I lost blood. My firearms. But luckily I found a stone, and after 30 minutes of whittling, I made it really sharp. And that stone and the fact that the military dropped bombs across my enemy's heads are the only reason I made it out. And I think that stone's easily half the reason. Not the napalm torching the countryside.
Oh my gosh.
So aside from James, you took off both of your achievements for that weekend, right?
I had three goals that I set down for the prelease. So I, at this prelease, I actually...
These goals were post-opening the pool.
Yeah, post-opening
the pool. Not like before I opened the pool, like, I'm going to do these things.
Yeah. So I opened the pool, and I need to go back and look at that pool and see like if I forced it a bit. But I actually did kind of get swept up into the fun and the whimsy of pre-release. I was okay, I'm not going to go full-on, like... spiky cutthroat on this pre-release. I wanted to build a competitive deck, but my promo was Liliana.
Oh, nice.
And one of the cards I opened was Emrakul. And I had some other, you know, black and green cards in there, and I'm like, well, let's go for it. And so my goals that I set out were I want to ultimate Liliana, I want to cast Emrakul at least once, and I want to meld the rats and the scavengers because I also opened those up, and I ultimated Liliana twice in the event, and I got to cast Emrakul, and my opponent actually let me resolve it.
I walked over and watched that resolution. It was like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Why does James have his cards in his hand?
Well,
his
opponent's hand was like laid out in front of him. I'm like, there's not really like a discard spell that's worth playing in this format. What are you looking at his hand for? And then you're like, I attack with this angel, and I'm like, whoa, that's an Emrakul on the board.
Yeah, so I had one goal for the Saturday pre-release. You know, my midnight pre-release was a wash. I got to kill someone with Vizel, which was, you know, just sweet. So my goal on Saturday was to decimate somebody with Decimator Provinces, and I did it 6 times over the course of
that
pre-release.
I mean, Overrun is really good in Limited.
Oh, yeah. And and of course, you know, Sean, you always talk about how board states get clumped up in Limited. Holy crap. Like, yes, it's a midley. Yes, it's 10 mana, or in my case, it was 3 green mana at one point. Shut up. Yeah, it was.
That sounds like solid deck building to me. I don't know what you're getting salty over there for.
Well, that's what we know him, so...
Way to go, Buck-sack.
the stars aligned for us.
The setup was funny. So it was round 4, and I was playing with my buddy John, and my opening hand was land, warped landscape, and other stuff. And I'm like, okay, I had nothing else to play, but I'm going to keep this because it has lands and spells. Forest, and he didn't do anything else, and so I finally played Warp Landscape and passed again. He's like, are you just not any spells? I'm like, no, not yet. I'm just setting my mana up for late game. And he passed, and I cracked Warp Landscape and got the third forest, and he went, oh, no, you don't. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Way to just send off these tails, Alex.
6 turns later, hoof, I hammer-cooled him, as Drew would say.
I think you could have worked on the approach.
Probably a little bit better.
Like a little bit more enthusiasm?
Yeah.
You let it like drone out a little bit.
I would have loved to snort beforehand.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
No, I'm reserving one magic card noise per episode now.
Oh.
I did the angel noises. Unless James does.
Okay.
Leave it to me that this jerk starts censoring his unnecessary content now.
Yeah.
And he starts laying out all these rules after we begin. Or, you know,
right. Yeah,
after
what
we
is
walk
this?
In.
It's
yeah.
my show. He turns on me for talking trash about people that we don't even like, know personally.
Anyway,
such is life, right?
Such is life.
I suppose.
Yeah. So let's go around the table here real quick before we go into anything else. You know, and just talk about the cards that were just awesome for us. Whatever color, whatever deck you played it in all weekend. Steve, I'm going to start with you. What were your overperformer, like, superstars in your deck for the weekend?
The 5-mana 3-4 Lifelinker.
Yeah, that thing's...
That guy's really good.
Yeah.
3-4, yeah, it's the something-something knight, but that guy was... Dentist looking it up.
No, I was looking up the name of the...
His cards, but yeah, that card is really solid, I think.
Yeah, it just blocked a lot. Easiest way to flip Lone Rider ever, because you just...
Yeah.
Like, okay, if he dies, whatever, I get a 4-4 first strike, you know, trample lifelink.
Did you flip Lone Rider?
Oh, yeah, like multiple times.
Gross.
Also, I had the... The provinces guy that comes in and gives a human +2/+2. So it's like, all right,
Rider,
play something else, play that guy, swing for 3 first strike, flip him, yay.
All the green and pump, green and white pump guys are just still good in this format. Mm. So I played green and white on Saturday and just unfairly good in that format, I think. Anything else? Any other good cards?
Oh, so from Two of the Giant, I got to learn like just how powerful Fortune's Favor was. Because even with two people trying to figure out the splits on the card, like, I still felt that I could, for the most part, gauge which one I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, you have two people, so you can, you know, read an extra person. But
yeah.
I still feel that that card has enough application in standard, given how good the card quality is, that you'll be able to, like, throw it into... Basically, you can make it the standard equivalent of Fact or Fiction, but you just have to understand that it's never going to be that solid.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Yeah. What about you, Sean? Any all-stars for you?
Well, so I'm going to ignore my atrocious second pre-release where I only opened 3 very conditional removal spells because that night did not go very well. You need removal to be good. But in my morning one, I went 4-0, and it was a red-black deck that I wasn't sold on to begin with, but it just had a bunch of unconditional removal that made it really good in the long game. A couple of the cards that jumped out to me were the Impetus Devils, the 6-1 Trample with Haste. Like, he wasn't great, but because the boards do stall a lot, sometimes he just comes in and goes, you're going to take 4, I'm going to kill the best thing on board. And so, like, you do things like that. But the two cards that really carried that deck, like, I got assembled the alphas, never was able to attack with it because they were dead before I could ever attack with them. So, I was, because the deck was pretty aggressive. But the two cards were... Cryptolith Fragment was sick.
Oh,
because
yes.
You're
really,
because okay. If you're an aggressive deck, I was in the red black aggressive deck, so I was constantly applying pressure. And so since I was the aggressive deck, I was constantly like, a lot of times Cryptolith Fragment was just like, at the end of your turn we both lose a life.
Yeah.
I wasn't even using the mana, I was just like, tap it. Like, just slowly taking us both down, and then it would flip and it's just like take four. Like, it was
okay,
just insane.
Cool.
And
yeah.
You're able to set up those positions really well. Because you're attacking them, they're attacking back. So you're both, your life tools are going down, and you're slowly taking away this Cryptolith Fragment. But the Cryptolith Fragment favors you in the long run, and
sure.
You're also built around it. So that card was insane and uncommon. And then Dark Salvation, when I finally figured out how to read this card, was really good.
It took you, myself, and David sitting at the table to figure out how that card actually works.
So it's just the templating on the card's really weird, because it's target player gets X22 zombies. Target creature gets -X/-X, where X is equal to the number of zombies target player controls. So, like, the first few times I read it, like, now that I understand it, I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I should have understood that to begin with. But, like, it sounded like you give zombies to a player and one of their creatures get the -/-.
Mm-mm.
But it's you choose you get a bunch of zombies. You choose their creature, it gets -/- equal to the number of zombies you control. And in the black deck, you have other incremental zombies. Like, I have the 1/1 Skulk Death Touch Zombie Rat. I have Liliana's Finest or whatever, the 1/1 that gets ++ equal number of creatures in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and all these other random zombies. And so that Dark Salvation ended up just being a blowout. Like, that card was kill whatever you wanted on board, make an army, they lose the game.
Yeah.
So that card was nuts. Also, Conduit of Storms, the guy who attacks and adds a red mana.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
What about you, James? Any superstars other than Liliana and Emrakul?
Yeah, well, I already talked about those. I think outside of that... Borrowed Malevolence, I liked a lot. You know, it's the black escalate card, a single black mana, instant escalate for 2 generic mana.
Mm-hmm.
Target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and the other mode is target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn.
Way better than I thought it was going to be.
So, I mean, it's not a Zealous Persecution, but, you know, in Limited, it does a pretty good imitation of, you know, just really good combat trick, a lot of 2-for-1 potential there.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that card a lot out of the obvious bombs that were in my deck. So.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? literally it. It was Liliana and Ricola and Gadkar.
Everything else were like sweet bombs.
and 23 lands.
Yeah.
Or however many lands you played.
Yeah, I don't. There's nothing else that remarkable that I can recall. I mean, it was a not bad deck otherwise, but nothing that was insane. I think I had the one sided fight. It's like hard.
The bite.
It's not prey upon.
Oh, the 3-mana instant creature gets +1/+1, and then it deals damage.
Yeah.
No, it's. I think it's like just.
Was it the one from Shadows?
It may be from Shadows, yeah.
Yeah, Savage Bite or whatever it's called.
Oh, no, that's Rabid Bite.
Rabid Bite, yeah. Just one Savage Bite.
Like, a lot of the cards weren't, like, insane, but were really, really good. Like, I got beat by Weaver Lightning. Weaver Lightning, the guy who, like, pings when you play a spell and it's 1/4 reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's just a good body, each, like, would occasionally set the pings. And then whenever he'd play that with that Savage Alliance, it's just some blowouts because it's like, 2 to this, ping that, ping the board, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But the one card that was insane, that was good from Saturday Nights, was the Subjugator Angel, the 6-mana 4/3 flyer.
Yeah.
That card at Uncommon was insane. Like,
yeah.
It was just like, I'm going to play into this board stall, and we're all stalled out, everybody's sitting bored, and the opponent, like, there was one time where, like, the opponent was just kind of like, oh, this is lame, and I'm like, untap? Play this angel and kill you. Like, this is great.
Yeah, it feels like that's the way to break through the board stalls. It's only like there's that, there's Decimator, which just breaks board stalls completely wide open. If you don't have those in your deck, it feels like you have a really hard time pushing your damage.
Yeah.
As you get in some board stalls. So like one of my all-stars for the weekend was Sigardian Priest, the 2-mana tap and 1-mana to tap down a non-human creature.
Mm-hmm.
At a common, that thing is absolutely absurd. It's like, everybody has non-human creatures, it seems. And the human creatures that they do have don't trade with your human creatures. So it just
some of them turn into Eldrazi, and they're no longer human.
Some of them do, yeah. But if you got, like, Sigardian Priest and one decent blocker, and you're like, okay, I'm going to tap into Werewolf. But they never get through.
Because the werewolves in this set aren't humans on the front side. So you can tap either side. I was talking about this the other night at the draft with it, and, like, the creatures that you can't tap with that are creatures you probably don't care to tap anyway, because they're like 2/2s and 1/1s. And
exactly.
The guys you want to tap are like that 5/7. I want to tap that guy. So I don't really care.
So
that,
like,
card's insane.
That Bust of the Lions was nuts. Choking Restraints and Faith Unbroken, despite being enchantment based removal that stayed on the board and it could bounce it, you know, you get rid of it. Super solid removal spells.
Well, because Faith Unbroken is one of the. Faith Unbroken and, like, Prey Upon are, like, the only two common removals in Eldritch. Mm-hmm.
Well, Faith Unbroken is the uncommon one that exiles a creature.
Oh, I'm sorry, Choking Restraints.
Yeah, Choking. And the ability to sacrifice it and exile the creature permanently was, like, super, super good. Yeah.
Smoldering Werewolf was also pretty sweet. The guy came in, ping 2, then you flip him, and he, like, deals too many attacks.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then, like, the 3/4 Lifelinker was really good.
That card was... I didn't think that card was going to be any good until my opponent played against me. I'm like, well, that body's really awkward.
Yeah.
it's like, in many... majority of sets I've played in Magic, 5-mana for 3/4, even if you put Lifelink or Trample or Vigilance on it, isn't that great. But for whatever reason, in this set, everything's 2/2s and 2/3s and 3/3s.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that one 3/4,
you're like... Oh
yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most powerful creatures I dealt with over the weekend were the ones that had odd number, like their toughness was higher than their power.
Yeah,
all of them gave me just trouble.
That's traditionally really good in Limited because that's what sets up the board stalls, and you start becoming favorite in those.
And there are just so many in this set.
Yeah, and then that Lifelink is relevant.
Yeah.
Especially the 1/1 Skulk Lifelink, the black guy uncommon.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was our pre-releases. So let's see. 4-0, Sean.
I went 2-2.
2-2. Top 8 at a 6-round and then got 2nd place.
Sweet.
And 2 at a giant.
Yeah.
What did you do a 6-round?
Love it.
Whoa.
It's a lot of people out there, apparently.
You guys do some hardcore mode.
We do 4 rounds and we go get food.
A nice simple 4 rounds.
4 rounds, then Hawaiian barbecue.
Is this a store by Blue Light?
The Mad Hatter's House of Games. Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
Also, because our review, we said otherwise, but after playing this weekend, Nick's art, what we said on Spreading Flames in the review.
Oh, the 7-mana
card is.
I got
just
4/1 on Saturday, on Sunday, or Friday night. 4/1.
If you don't stumble a mana and you cast that thing on turn 7 or like turn 6 with like some kind of mana dork.
Yeah.
Yes, that's late in the game, but you still kill at least 2 creatures, sometimes more, and it's an instant, so you can also do it like mid-combat.
Yeah.
So.
That's the six damage divided.
Among number of creatures, yeah.
Among the creatures that you're on controls. Or just creatures.
Yeah. We had that in Two-Headed Giant. I mean, it's a little bit better in Two-Headed Giant because you'll live longer. Yeah. But that card felt so unfair.
Yeah, I got blown up on Friday night in the against a guy who was playing Jeskai, but wouldn't reveal his red splash until he showed me that and Nihiri. And I'm like, okay, all right. This seems fair.
The blue Terminate is also really good.
Blue Terminate.
The blue Flash Enchantment creature gets -X/-0, where X is the number of cards in your yard.
Yes.
It's not Delirium. It's not card types. It's just all of them. Yeah. So late in the game, it's like, it has -20/-0. Okay. Is it ever going to deal damage?
No. Nope.
There's your wall. That says Defender now.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that was our pre-release. Pre-release was pretty sweet. I thought it was going to be very bomb heavy. I was right. And I look forward to do some drafts to see just how different the format actually shakes out to be.
Removal is so important.
Yeah, the removal is so bad in Eldritch that you really have to rely on what you've got in Shadows.
And you don't have much Shadows, especially like in a draft. You get one pack of Shadows. And so, like, we did the math. There's like no common removal in Eldritch.
Yep.
There's very, very little, and a lot of it has like restrictions. So the ability to answer your opponent's bomb. That's the one thing I didn't like about it. Is Eldritch Moon has terrible mana fixing.
Yeah.
And atrocious removal at low rarity rate, even if it's conditional, just like even a low quantity of even the conditional ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you sometimes, especially in a seal, will get a pull where you're like, I just can't interact. If my opponent plays a ball, I lose. Like they play a Gisela, I scoop. And then at draft, you can fix a little bit more because you can draft accordingly. But if you get into the color that doesn't see removal later, you're just hosed. And mana fixing is awful.
Yeah.
So you can't splash into removal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of you really are leaning pretty heavily on the combat tricks to get work done in the format. And if you get outbombed at all, like especially when you're relying on combat tricks, you're pretty far behind. So
yeah, perhaps you and I will do a Eldritch Moon draft sometime soon if we can stop drafting the Vintage Cube at least a week.
it ends next week, so.
Most of the Emerge cards are pretty good, though, right?
The Emerge cards are all nuts. Yeah. All just...
As far as playability?
Yeah. And that kind of leads into our next topic, actually. Good segue there, Sean.
Just doing my job.
That's
why I get paid nothing.
Hey, and get ridiculed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get turned on a whim. All right.
Things you should expect on my show.
Just for you, I almost made a turn aside reference for a pun there for you. I'm still real bitter.
I almost did too, actually. So with Eldritch Moon coming out, it literally releases on Friday, and we have all kinds of tournaments except for Texas because it doesn't matter in Texas. We won't play Standard until it actually matters again because of rotation.
There's maximum three Standard. You have regionals. You have last chance qualifier. You have the RGTQ. That's it.
Yeah. So for those of you that are out there actually going to play Eldritch Moon Standard. What are your guys' predictions for Eldritch Moon having an impact on Standard going to be?
Bam, 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 ba, bam.
All right, moving on. Collect the Company, Tamiyo's, New Thalia's.
I still don't even think the Tamiyo goes in the Collect the Company decks.
No, she probably doesn't.
She doesn't do enough, but like, you can get the Spell Quellers. I think the Collect, like, so when I was looking at the Collect Company list, start to add these Spell Quellers. Mm-hmm. Which are a risk because if you spell quarrel a Languish and they kill the spell quarrel, the Languish still goes off.
Yep.
So because you're moving into the spell quarrelers, you shave some of the other guys like the Lamhole Pacifist and you also move into Rattle Chains to protect those spell quarrelers and you can just fly kill people.
Yep.
And then I'm personally like really liking the idea of putting Elder Deep Fiend in Bant Company because you have so many 3 drops. You with 4 mana open represents Collect Company and Elder Deep Fiend.
Yeah.
And if in the mirror match on turn 4, you Deep Fiend at the end of the turn, tapping one of their mana, they have to Coco now. And then you get to untap accordingly.
Yeah. That's
where,
pretty sweet.
You tap one of their mana and 3 of their dudes, and then now they have to Coco now just to not die.
Yeah.
And you get to see what comes out. You get to untap, you can play your Reflector Mages and do any of that stuff and keep going.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Emerge, because that's the big, I would almost say, problem mechanic. So there was an article written on Star City Games as of yesterday, Mr. Mark Nestico, and he basically is calling it the oh crap of standard mechanics. He calls it broken, fundamentally flawed, should never have happened, and just oops in general. So, like, it's a very flavorful mechanic, and that's basically what his what does Emerge get right? It's flavorful. The idea of a creature control just erupting into giant Hammerkul or tentacle monster is really, really sweet. But that's about it. What he's really worried about is the fact that it's decreasing the price tag on these very, very huge creatures. So, like, we look bad at things like Cascade and Affinity. Is this a mechanic on the same level to you guys?
No. So, it is dangerous. And like we've talked about it a couple times, the different things that anytime you modify price tags, it's really dangerous. That's why Phyrexian Mana was so bad.
Yep.
The difference with this is you're giving up a card for it. With Affinity, it's rewarding you for having a board state. You're not giving anything up. With Cascade, it's two free spells, not give up a spell to get a spell. Mm-hmm. With these cards, you're giving up something to get something. And there's really only three Emerge guys that will probably see Constructed play.
Yeah.
Now, they're all three very powerful, but and they will see play. But yeah. The thing is, like, there's not a million Emerge guys that are going to get played. The Emerge guys get numerically worse the more copies of them you have in your hand, because you don't want to stack multiple times in a row.
Yep.
So it's, I don't think it's as dangerous as those mechanics, because those mechanics weren't give up something to get something. Those mechanics were just get free
just
things.
Do things. Yep. Yeah. So we're probably looking at Decimator, Mindbender, and then Deep Fiend probably be the only three that actually see any play whatsoever.
Mostly Deep Fiend and Mindbender.
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm just kind of like skimming through his article again. Yeah, we have the Second Coming of Mistblind Click. They all can be searched up by Sanctum and Ugin, which is just disgusting. What happens to Standard when... So, like, let's hold the clocks back a little bit. When we had Valakut and Primeval Titan in Standard, you know, the acceleration started out at rampant growth. And the more and more prevalent the mirror became, it all of a sudden turned into, well, we need the Llanowar Elf as well as rampant growth, and it just got more and more fast to get to these points in the game. Do you think we're going to see a similar effect in Standard to you guys?
I mean, there's not a lot of good ramp in Standard. I mean,
true, yeah. So we have like
you don't have a Llanowar Elf. You have, you know, you start at two, and then, I mean, I guess the dedicated ramp decks have it, but you know, before you could have these kind of decks that had like eight ramp cards in them that weren't essentially like a dedicated ramp deck, but. Mm-hmm. You know, just ramped into a bigger mid-range plan early on.
I think, like, the important thing to kind of keep in mind is that, like, these cards will see play, but your quote-unquote ramp spells aren't ramp spells. It's you playing Magic to win the game. Like, I'm playing these creatures that do things, then I'm going to lose them later. You don't want ramp spells. Like, I want to play Reflector Mage so I can Deep Fiend for four. Mm-hmm. I want to play Matter Reshaper so I can get the Mindbender.
Yeah.
So your ramp spells are just regular old Magic. So that's where it's kind of a problem. But the thing with, like, Primeval Titan, Affinity, Cascade, where those are recurring values.
Yeah, sure.
Your Affinity guy is a spell that did a lot. Normally it's a creature or, like, you drew two cards. Your Cascade was another spell. Your Primeval Titan is just land after land after land. These guys are all one-time effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then you need to replay another version of them to get the effect again.
Yeah.
So what makes them dangerous is the Sanctum of Ugin, not the card themselves, because it's just a one-time effect. If you play around it, you try to play a little safe, you're fine. But if they have Sanctums, that's when they start to get really dangerous.
Yeah, and also it's important to note, too, that all of their abilities are on cast, so you can't abuse an ETB at all. So yep. I honestly don't really expect to see too many of these guys.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, a lot of it, like, so, you know, expect to see an article like this anytime a mechanic like this.
Yeah,
exactly.
The
sky's always falling.
They want to be the one who called it. And then if nothing comes of it, nobody remembers it. But if it turns out to be a problem, they give you, like, look what I wrote.
Yeah, and it's also a selling point for them as well.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's try and push these cards.
Be afraid of this card. Well, now I have to buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think the thing for me is I actually am really happy that Wizards does stuff like this. I've said it before on the show that I like that they take risks, even in places where they've made mistakes in the past. And cost reduction or free spell mechanics or anything like that have always traipsed the line of, is this a mistake or not?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just recently we had two Delve cards with, you know, Treasure Cruise and Delve Time that were genuinely a mistake. But I think that like you have to explore that territory for the game to be fun and you know, they correct the mistake. If they stayed conservative all the time, like, the game would be really boring. Yeah.
We've played conservative sets before. Right. Theros? Yeah, that was a very boring set.
Whoa, did you see how many black clips were on that board when that Great Merchant came down though? That just killed people.
Yeah, that was such a boring set. Like, oh, I just rumble around and then eventually I kill you. This is fun magic. I hated that stuff. No, you're going to see decks with four Deep Fiend. You're going to see decks with like two Mind whatevers.
Mind Bender.
Distended
Mind Benders. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be about it. Like, there might be maybe a deck with like one of this Hammer Pull, but he's a cast trigger.
Yeah.
So you don't even, never mind. So you don't even want to like evolution to that guy.
No, correct.
You don't get any payoff for it. So like, you're going to see decks with two Distended Mindbenders. You're going to see decks with four Deep Fiend, and that's going to be about the extent.
Yeah. But so, and it's kind of funny. So it's almost like Wizards is giving us almost the tools to stop this just in case. So we have Summoner Dismissal in Eldritch Moon, which is a counter all spells or exile all spells and all abilities as well in the stack. So if this does get out of hand, this might push itself in that direction. And we were talking about earlier, I think, Spells Revolt, which exiles spells, to make them impossible for them to, like, Dim Protector it back, or get back the creature somehow, and just use it over again. Like, exile, I think, is going to be a really important factor in a lot of this, and hopefully it doesn't make all the processors come back in a big way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the processors barely were around anyway. Like, the only one that is probably, like, solid enough is Ulamog's Nullifier.
Yep.
Wasteland Strangler as well. But, I mean, there hasn't really been a black aggro-y style of deck that really wants the Wasteland Strangler.
He's more Flicker with Spuddy and Modern than anything.
Ancestral Vision.
That's the thing is like, the current standard format, though, is too aggressive for counter magic for the most part. Yeah. With the exception of, like, you can run some Ojitize commands.
Who's Big Bear?
Yeah. Oh, it's Patrick. What's going on, Patrick? Yeah.
So, I mean, you can run some Ojitize commands, and that'll be sweet, but Spell Shivel, like, no, 3-mana counters, like, you don't want any part of that. So, you don't want to go that route. If the Emerge decks become good enough, then, and people move to those counter decks, then these human decks just run you over.
Yeah.
Because 3-mana counter doesn't keep up with a million humans. Yeah. So it's you got to find this middle ground. But I think what it's going to turn out to be is that the impact of these cast triggers aren't going to be big enough to warrant, like, the red flags.
Yeah, not yet. Maybe once Zendikar Black rotates out completely, we might see something.
I think even then,
I'm skeptical.
But that's the thing is, I think Coco rotating is going to hurt these effects more than anything.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, so like, whenever I emerge a creature, I'm going to set myself up to be 2-for-1. But if I Coco'd into two creatures and I emerge one of those, then I'm not getting blown out as much.
Yeah.
So it's important, like that's what part of the problem is, you have to set yourself up to where you're not getting blown out by those effects.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So whenever Coco leaves, it's going to help a lot. Being able to Coco into making one of these guys cost 4 is really dangerous.
Yeah.
I think the biggest boon to the biggest knock against them is the fact that there's so few of them that are even good enough that if we ever see a merge come around again, we might see things pushed a little bit further. Whether or not we do is a completely different story. I don't think this can be seen on any other plane except that it has Eldrazi. And if we go back to another Eldrazi plane anytime soon, I'm going to be
I would say we have like 6 years until Imrakul breaks out of that moon, but based on this current thing,
spoilers!
I'm pretty sure
they haven't even told the story of that yet.
I know. I'm just saying there's a card where they very plainly are putting her in a moon.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just saying, I would say that would be 5 or 6 years away, but based on recent events, it looks like Fires of Kaladesh are getting a little tangly. Like, we're running out of ideas, and they're just like, what do? Go back to that. Like, they got a board up, and 90% of the board just says Eldrazi, and they throw a dart, and they go, what are the odds? We're back to the Eldrazi.
10% Nicol Bolas.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
And there's like 0.01 Phyrexians.
Just...
I'm okay with that.
To give you the feels, Alex, I want you to understand, there are a large portion of players who play the game right now who have never lived through a Nicol Bolas machination. They don't understand what he's up to ever. They've never lived through that. Do you understand what we're going through?
You get on the boat of this one.
Was the last time we hung out with Nicol Bolas, like, Alara Block?
Alara Block?
Yeah.
So we're sitting here, these kids
I
are like,
actually.
Yeah, this child.
He got reprinted in a core set.
Right, but there's no machinations. There's no story behind it. So like, so everybody's sitting here going like, Chase is so brilliant. But like, have you interacted with our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy's like warped entire history.
There's a reason I bleed red, black, and blue. And it's him.
What? So this whole cons block about Ugin is in large part because of Nicol Bolas.
Yes.
He does so much stuff that people are like, we've got to rewrite his. He is the Trump of the Magic universe. Like, we got to erase everything. Things are getting out of hand.
Hashtag make Magic great again.
Gonna make Comic great again.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we had to wait. Disciple of Bolas.
We're going to build a planar wall.
Well, so the only reference of Bolas that some of the newer players would have is from Khons of Tarkir, wherever you get a somewhat seed Bolas fighting, or Ugin fighting
in
Bolas.
In Crux of Fate. Yeah. And then you had, so there's Disciple of Bolas, Augur Bolas, and then there was Bolas's Mindraker, I think was the red one.
Yeah.
From that M13 set, I believe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when...
Or M14. One of those.
I think it was 13.
I think it was 13.
Oh, yeah.
Because I played that.
Yeah. What is it?
Because when he was back in his
card
set.
Draft,
it was
the second.
I played the heck out of Augur Bolas.
Yeah, I can't wait for I can't wait for them to go back. And you know that's what they're setting up.
Because
the dude's a champ.
Oh,
and like now Liliana's not so solo. Like, she's kind of like, you guys all owe me. Because there's this guy who I've got a beef with. Like, he's...
Yeah.
They're gonna eventually, did you guys... He is their Lex Luthor.
You see her art. She's like...
Did you guys read the story?
Come hug me!
So the story they posted today, it's basically the Gatewatch coming together on Innistrad. So there's Jace, Gideon, Chandra, and Nissa. They're all, like, in Thraben Square. And they're, like, brawling hard. And they are getting the crap kicked out of them. And then, like, they hear this, like, rumbling. And it's just a wall of zombies... That basically pushes back all the Eldrazi, and then out walks Liliana, like she's the hottest shit in the plane. It's like, y'all miss me? Oh, you guys are in trouble? Let me get this for you guys. Oh, don't look at me that way because I'm gonna get y'all.
But that's the thing, is by her nature, she doesn't do anything without like being able to recoup it. Like she's like right here in my heart. Like there's gotta be value. I'm not gonna do something for somebody unless I'm getting something back. And so like that's what it's going to be. Like, it's they built... The comic book movies are huge, and they've permeated into the game. And so now we have our Justice League, or our Avengers, and we need our Lex Luthor, or our Darkseid, or we need... Like, we've got our enemy, and that's Nicol Bolas, and we're building up, and we're going to go battle that dude, and Tezzeret's going to come back, and it's going to be sweet, and it's going to be awesome.
There's gonna be this.
This is for you. I'm just shooting Cupids right in your chest right now.
It'll just be Grixis. You know, it'll be black, red, blue.
There's no white cards. There's no green cards. It's just the Tezzeret block.
No, we're
and if Wizards hasn't thought of this, I'm waiting for my invitation to come work for you. I'll write stories. That's fine.
We're gonna find out that somehow Nicol Bolas was involved with bringing Emrakul to Innistrad as well, I bet.
Yeah, it's all one big plot.
And we're called Nihiri.
Nihiri's actually Nicol Bolas' daughter somehow.
Yeah.
Well, so to be fair, so it was Nihiri, Ugin, and Soren that locked away the Eldrazi.
Yeah.
It would be really sweet if it was Nicol Bolas that slid a line through the planes to let him come out to begin with. He's like, this will be sweet.
There's actually a giant wooden stick on the back of Emrakul, and he's just Nicol Bolas is using Emrakul as a mop.
He's just got like all those tentacles little strings. Yeah. And he's just like, look at my spaghetti puppet. This is awesome. Like, he's one of the coolest characters in the multiverse, and, like, most people don't even know anything about him.
Yeah.
But isn't that appropriate to some degree?
It is cool. Like, for a while there, like, around the LR block, you're like, man, y'all are pushing him, and he's supposed to be kind of in the shadows doing a lot of stuff, but he is...
Sometimes the gloves have to come off.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the same thing with Thanos right now in the Marvel movies. Like, we kept seeing, like, his back of his chair.
Yeah.
We've seen him sitting in the chair, but other than that, he's not doing anything right now.
That's probably what's going to be is, like, Fires of Kaladesh in the next couple sets, this is my theory, are going to start slowly incorporating this Nicol Bolas thing. You're going to be like, why are people doing things against what they normally do? And you're going to find out there's bribes and there's mind controls.
Yeah.
And it's going to lead all the way down, and then, like, two blocks, bam, here's Lex Luthor. Like, we're ready to fight. Like I feel like that's the direction we're going. You can't make a Justice League without an enemy, and the enemy we have of Eldrazi, they're too stupid. So they fill the gap of the dumb villains that you test yourself against, the Doomsdays, and they're going to feed into the machination, like the person who's doing everything. This is my theory. Nicol Bolas is very soon.
I can get behind all of this.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the challenges with integrating Nicol Bolas into sets. It's like he truly is like the big bad in all of Magic, so... Like, you can't kill him off, and also you can't underrepresent his power.
No.
And so it's really hard to work him into a set effectively where he's not just crushing everything.
That's the problem is most of the time whenever Nicol Bolas has been around, the story arc has been about the people he's maneuvering, and they never fight him directly. And so, like, my guess is going to be that they're finally going to get to a set, and they're actually going to run into Nicobolas, and it's going to be a stalemate.
Actually, wouldn't it make a lot of sense? Tamio teaching Jace how to protect his mind would actually play into Nicobolas.
Yeah, like, but, like, I want him to do like they did with Shadows, where they, like, do, like, one or two sets of build-up where they, like, have hints of Nicobolas and then feed into it. But, I mean, it would be sweet if you take everything that the Gatewatch has done so far. Like, we beat Ulamog, we beat Kozilek, we've chained away Emrakul. Like, we've beat these insane things. And then in two sets, after, like, practicing as a team, they're going to run into Nicobolas. And then it's going to be a stalemate and a wash. Mm-hmm. That this one dude washes the entire oath would be sweet.
Yeah, I can get behind that. That's been a big point of contention on Marcos Lars Bogatog on Tumblr. If they're always asking about, why are we getting this Justice League type thing? Why are they always going to win? And he keeps making up these points of like, well, you look at like New Phyrexia, they lost, or the mirror.
They're not afraid to make you guys lose.
Yeah. And he keeps pointing these things out. He's like, guys, we're not. They're not always going to win. Like Khans of Tarkir, the Khans lost. Which, you know, the dragon should have been the winners all the entire time, but I'm super psyched for what they do.
They're fine making good guys loose, and the thing is, the best guy to defeat this oath is that guy.
Yeah. I just want Nicobolas Planeswalker 2.0.
And they have to break the oath eventually. Because you want to be able to do other Planeswalkers.
Oh, well, the easy way to break the oath is just the Chandra, Liliana, and Jace triangle.
Well, right. And that, but most of them really don't care. Like, in the stories, most of them are like, I don't care what you do with your free time.
Yeah.
It's already like kind of a liberal thing that they do with that story arc in general. But like, in order, like, the oath is too powerful, so you're gonna have to break that oath. And the way you break that oath is you have somebody come in and just smash them and have them turn on each other.
Yeah. But it seems like they've always had at least when they're setting it up. So on Zendikar, it seemed like the Gatewatch just had it under control. They just had to convince, you know, Nyssa to do her thing and Chandra to light them all on fire. But it seems like Liliana's the most powerful of all of them, at least on Innistrad. It's like she's single-handedly taking care of everything, it seems like.
Do you know what I just realized? You know who wants Liliana dead more than anybody?
Nyssa?
Garruk?
Yeah.
And you know what Garruk is doing is hunting her, which would probably lead him to her associates, which would include Nicobolas.
Yeah?
Oh, Garruk controlled by Nicobolas would be so sweet. A Jund Garruk would be off the hook. Like, give me that.
All right, before we just go off.
We do have a question.
I'm done.
We have a question. All right, what is the question? Is this from Patrick?
It is from Patrick. All right, Patrick says, What decks do you see top eating this weekend? And he's saying specifically in standard.
Hyper aggressive white decks.
I'd say green white tokens again.
Yeah, or human based something.
Blessed Alliance.
They do get Blessed Alliance.
Not Blessed Alliance. The Gideon one. The tap a creature escalate.
Yeah, the convoke.
Yeah, the convoke.
But my thing is, I don't know if that card is enough to like does a whole lot in the current format because there's not a lot of four powered creatures that you're worried about except for your own Addison. So like blowing up and always watching and pumping your team, but you already have Nyssa pumping your team, so you're getting convoluted in the three drops.
Mm-hmm.
I think like green white humans is going to be like a threat, just general humans, and this dangerous Thalia. But I also really think Bant Company is going to be for the first week able to just value people out of games.
Yeah, because it'll be the most consistent in a world of inconsistent.
Yeah, they're now going to shave some of the guys who they would play and always be like, yeah, it was okay. Like Tireless Tracker never really did what they wanted out except for out of the sideboard against control decks.
Yeah.
So now they can board that Tireless Tracker and put the Spell Queller in, and they have a better game versus control main deck. And they're still really value based. So I think and there's enough flyers now popping up in that deck. If you go Spell Queller and Rattle Chains. To reduce the value of Griff's Boon for your humans matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't go over the top of Collected Company, that match becomes really hard.
Yeah. I do think that there could be a potential for this colorless blue-red Eldrazi deck that I think Michael Majors on Star Citizen has been working on. That seems really, really powerful if it can just stabilize the early game. Like if they have to main deck for Kozilek's Return just to stabilize against early creatures, I think we could see a very powerful, rampy control deck probably play out.
Kozilek's Return with the emerge cards are very dangerous. You discard it to Jace, and then you emerge the Deep Fiend, and it flashes back Kozilek's Return.
Yeah.
So those cards are extremely dangerous. Or you can even like with the Distant Mindbender, because the Kozilek's Return happens before he resolves.
Yep.
So it doesn't kill the Distant Mindbender.
Wipes the board, and you have a 5/5.
You have a 5/5 that eats their hand for two cards.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But to his question, like in most of the time, when a new set comes out. your first few tournaments are going to be whatever was around the last season, slightly tweaked.
Yep.
It's not going to be until the Pro Tour that you see anything crazy. So whatever the last set of top decks are, take those and add in the obvious players from the new set. At the Pro Tour, that's when Seasons Pass popped up and all these things started going crazy.
Yeah, and I think any obvious aggro deck is also, you know, be prepared for that week one.
Yeah. Yep.
Any like kind of paint by numbers aggro deck.
Just mono red whatever.
Aggressive is always, like, you always want to be proactive. That's why I think like Collected Company and like Humans, because they're just really proactive.
Yeah. The known quantities will be what you'll face against. Like, mm-hmm. I would guess 80% of the time at a new tournament, unless you're in like FNM, and I think you're just kind of like, it's literally whatever opponent we pull out of their binder.
Humans getting Thalia and Bantel Jazzy getting Deep Fiend or Bant Coco getting Deep Fiend and Spell Queller help the Languish situation. So we're going to have to see the metagame before these white-black Languish decks can readjust themselves.
Yeah, definitely true. Yeah.
Although I think Seasons Pass will be in a good position as well. Like having access to Murder and then the Succumb, the draw two cards, lose two life. Like just having those ends and speed, I think is a lot of...
But I don't know if it really cares as much about that. Like, so it had Read the Bones and Ruinous Path before, and there's not a lot of cards in the format that really need you to have instant speed versions. So you're okay, like, and those cards weren't enough to help their matchups all the time either.
Yeah.
And in like,
how the one of the deck was.
Yeah. I mean, like, it does help with like the Murder and Wonder Day Coco, but normally needing to kill a Reflector Mage in the Coco match at instant speed isn't that out of hand.
Yeah. I think it might have been Sam Black or one of the guys on Channel Fireball who wrote about Succumb to Darkness or what it's called, specifically because he made that same example of, you know, maybe I want to kill something and just be, sometimes I just want to draw cards. And he said he'd have a split of that and Read the Bones and Painful Truths. Like, there's some number in there that he would have played had he had this at the Pro Tour playing Seasons Pass.
Yeah, you'd probably like go 2 Succumb, 1 Read the Bones, and that's probably fine.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you want the more murders because of that option. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think it's enough to push it whenever we don't know for sure the metagame or how these other decks are
Trying. Very, very true. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all about Standard. We'll find out on Saturday, I guess, from the SCG Open what we're actually going to see. And then the Pro Tour happens in...
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Yeah. Down in Sydney, Australia. We have some people that are going. And they're... I've heard from people that are going to the Pro Tour in a couple of weeks, they're more excited about what kind of Pokemon they're going to catch on the beach than they are at the actual Pro Tour.
I mean, there is a region-exclusive Pokemon in Australia.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's region-exclusives. Tauros is the U.S.
Tauros is our...
Tauros is pretty sweet.
God. It's kind
of sweet.
We love burgers. Of course we get Tauros.
No. See, I've been talking to Blastoise for the past 3 days that I cannot find.
I'm pretty...
I mean, with the three-step... With the three-step bug, like, you aren't really tracking
it. Yeah, the three-step bug's really
It's somewhere over there.
There's still an order, like, as far as...
There is, and that's what I've been tracking, because, like, I can get it to be, like, in the top row at three steps. I'm like, okay, it's in this neighborhood. Where? Yeah. I just think I'm going close to the water.
It also sucks, because it's really buggy today with the launch in Japan.
Yeah, oh my god, I've gotten on twice today, and wasted my Pokeballs trying to catch a Pidgey, because evolution points. Hey, little bastard just wouldn't keep flying away. Anyway, so...
I would say if there's a deck that pops up this weekend that wins and it's not one of the known meta decks...
Harmless Offering.
And it seems like... Harmless Offering. And it seems like a deck, like... So, for the person who asked the question, it seems like a deck that you have interest in. I would pick up the pieces pretty quick because it will probably... If it does well, it'll probably get tuned and do well moving forward.
Yeah.
Normally, any new meta deck, especially outside of a Pro Tour, is not very fine-tuned week one.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, if it puts up results, it's only going to get tuned and possibly get better.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed that I don't think Vampire's got enough tools to become a deck.
Probably not. Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that we see a Spirits deck come out in some form. Like I think that if any of the tribes really got the support. I mean, I think Zombies got some love, and Spirits got a lot of tools.
Vampire's got some good love too, though. Like,
yeah,
it's like small stuff, but it's like their madness enabling got really boosted.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks is like, so Vampires, Zombies, and Spirits, I've made deck lists for all three, and all three of them, you're like, oh, this deck might do good against the format, except for Collect Company. Except for Collect Company.
Yeah.
Collect Company.
Hence, like, I just need to get rid of that card completely.
Collect Company, it just chokes out any other like kind of tempo-y, proactive tribal deck.
Reminds me of another 4-mana spell that they had to ban recently. Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not going to ban his cocoa.
Right? I'm just going to let that one linger in the air for a minute.
They're not going to ban cocoa, but
here's a hint. It made multiple bodies.
Yes.
Many, many bodies.
Many, many bodies.
The format will get very open whenever cocoa leaves.
Yeah, I completely.
Because anytime you build a deck, like, whenever I've looked at vampires, I'm like, oh, we can build vampires. I guess we could also splash this green and start just becoming this, like, Jund value deck, and then we'll just work our way towards banned. Well, we can build zombies, and we can splash green, and we can be this zombie deck that flashes in all these zombies, and then we work our way towards banned. And it's just like, or we could just screw it. Let's just play banned.
Yeah.
I mean, at very least, a lot of the spirits are in banned colors.
And, the banned deck picked up, like, between Rattle Chain, Spellqueller, and then, like, the new Dauntless Escort, which nobody, like, is giving much credit towards. The Selfless Spirit, that card is insane. Like, even though right now the board wipe is -4/-4, it still helps for the mirror matches combat trip.
Yes. Yeah.
So like they flash in, they go to blocks, you're like, well, I'll sack the spirit.
Yeah.
That's normally how you lost the cocoa match, is if somebody cocoed into a blowout block situation. Now you have a reset with Selfless Spirit. So you're like, whoops, I regret doing that attack.
So you
have the ability to kind of set yourself up to not get as many blots with that card.
Yeah. So, and we also have to consider the fact that traditionally, towards the tail end of any standard season, before rotation hits, the decks that are good are at their most powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the most, this is the biggest card pool you're going to have
until
next fall.
Yeah.
So
a few weeks of this, and then everything will go back to normal when we get the fires of Kaladesh Revolution, Aether Revolts. Something stupid.
I mean, we're a ways away from Kaladesh, so
it's not till October. Like, it's all modern PPTQs, but
for us down here in Texas, at least, yeah.
There's some regional things.
Like modern this Saturday.
Yeah,
it's modern or sealed.
Tyler,
and then Texas. The 30th has one of Legends that I'll probably be playing. If you guys are gonna be playing that,
I'll just go play Vintage then.
Yeah,
have fun. Yeah. Okay, so that's about Standard. So something else happened on Monday.
Actually, nothing happened on Monday.
So, the Monday after every pre-release, we have a banned restricted update list from Wizards. You know, basically saying, these are the cards that are restricted in Vintage, and here are the cards that are banned in Legacy, Modern, and Standard, and Pauper now, because apparently that's a thing. And nothing changed. Were you guys surprised at all?
Not surprised. They're typically pretty conservative and don't do a bunch of reckless banning unbanning.
I think they did.
I think the ones that just from the climate, I think that Miracles and Legacy, that is one that they'll probably address eventually, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think it's worth it. Like, there's so many decks that can still, like, play around Miracles.
The Eldrazi have helped push that deck down some.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then in Modern, I know you have, your love letters waiting for Splinter Twin to come back.
We're all convinced it's going to happen eventually.
No, it's not. I'm convinced it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
Their whole justification for banning that card is actually coming to fruition. They say, we want to ban this card because it's causing a choke on the format and all these decks are
twins. But as soon as Tanner said it, there was a flicker in my heart. And it's grown.
But the problem is,
you wanted to believe.
It's like Wizards was actually right about something one time. They're not going to undo that. They're like, if we ban this, the format will be more diverse. And it's the most diverse it's been in a while.
And it's true, but just like there's a heartbeat of spring in my heart. And, and I'm just wanting to double and triple and just make a ton of little Splinter Twins. Well, all I want to do.
So we had talked about it before it happened, and my theory was option one, no banning. Nothing's going to change.
Sure.
And that was what I really thought was going to happen. Option two, we would see something banned over unbanning.
Yeah.
And what I thought we might see banned is based on the numbers, like if Infect would lose a good pump spell like a Mite. Or if Simeon Spirit Guide would go away, because every time a broken deck comes in the format, Simeon Spirit Guide is somewhere in that
piece of it. Sure. Yeah.
So it was one of those two. Something like that would get banned, and then the option three. If you look through the list, there's not much that can get unbanned. Like, so there's been talk before about Bloodbraid, but not right now. Jund's doing very well, so you don't want to unban Bloodbraid. There's talk about Stoneforge, but Nahiri's doing just fine, so you don't want to give them an earlier threat. There's talk about Jace. Nahiri's doing just fine. You don't need Jace. The one deck that like is constantly on the fringes that I was like maybe that I kind of mentioned was like Glimpse the Unthinkable. Elves is constantly kind of on the fringes without the ability to Wirewood Symbiote and bounce guys.
Yeah,
they don't get to draw their whole deck on turn two, but it's still, I think, for a time purposes and the ability to get broken, that card probably won't ever get unbanned.
Yeah.
But it was one card that I thought there's not a deck right now that would abuse it, and it might push Elves from tier 2 to tier 1.5 or 1.
Yeah.
But it, they want to definitely see what happens with Eldritch Evolution first.
Yep.
And the format's just, it's so healthy right now. There's no reason.
Yeah, and nothing's really, and like kind of your point, there's nothing that has happened. Since Shadows came out, nothing has changed in Modern.
Yeah.
Like some decks have gotten better, you know, things. Formats always change, but there's nothing that's happened to even warrant a, we should probably, no. There's been nothing.
Yeah, there's the traditional barn fire when Nihiri popped up, and it was like, oh no, there's a control deck in the format.
Yeah.
And now that it's been around for a little bit, like, it's actually not perfectly insane. Healthy. It's
yeah.
You can play around it, you can beat it, it's not perfect, like, there's different versions of it, because sometimes the counter, like, there's not a good version of it. The counterspell version has its bad matchups, the removal version has its bad matchups.
Yep.
It's definitely not flawless. And there's, so like, the only thing you want to do is if you want to preemptively ban something that's broken, and which they try not to do that. So
yeah.
Like, Simeon Spirit Guide is one more broken deck away from getting banned, I think.
Probably, yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, I'm convinced it's the same with Collected Company. It's one more good Truth Theory drop to just make that card an inexcusable error.
Well, we got it.
That's to be seen. That's to be seen. I think. I don't think you can ban things just on the potential of what, you know, Spillet Quill or New Thalia could potentially do.
Collected Company is super dangerous. Not for Spell Queller, but for Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah,
the consistency of Abzan Coco now is pretty high. Whenever you can go, because used to they didn't want to quarter calling because it took so much cord.
Yeah.
So now you run Eldritch Evolution. So you just run four Collect Companies and like two or three Eldritch Evolutions,
mm-hmm.
and you just go find your combo, because two more is a lot. That card's dangerous.
Well, you've been testing an elf version that basically you played some elf dudes, and then you play Allosaurus Rider for free, effectively removing two cards from your hand.
Yeah.
And then you Eldritch Evolution. What do you go get in Modern, John? Like, what have you hit so far?
Yeah, so the original list I've been testing was Iona and Craterhoof.
Yeah.
And then in testing, I've realized against like some of these more aggressive Zoo decks and affinities, like Craterhoof is just Winmore, so now it's Iona Elish Norn.
Yeah.
And you have the white mana with Heritage Druid and the Origins elf that gives you a token if you control another elf,
mm-hmm.
To actually cast some of those guys sometimes on turn 4 or 5 anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't get blown out by drawing them.
Yep.
So it's now kind of morphed into you Eldritch Evolution into Iona or Elish Norn. There's been articles about affinity with that big fat 4/4 mirror that's like a 7 drop. And then there's, well, not in affinity, but like as a way to abuse it. You run like Mana Rocks and then you play that guy.
Yep.
And then if you draw the card, you have the Mana Rocks to cast the card that you're evolutioning for. And then also, if you've ever played Grixis Delver, you know how fast you can get a Gurmag Angler out. You can turn 2 a Gurmag Angler, so why not turn 3 evolution? But there's a lot of different options floating around. It's just a matter of whether or not a good shell pops up.
Sure.
And what the payoff you're getting for it is.
Like, but turn 3 Iona, turn 3 Elish Norn, like that's, some decks just can't beat that.
Well, the elf deck I was getting frequently turn 3 or turn 4 if I had the pieces, but there were times I got like turn 2s, turn 2 Ionas, which you win almost every match that you do a turn 2 Iona, as long as you name the right color. So
purple. They played a fetch land, you're like, I don't know what to name here. Green. Gotcha, I'm actually playing Faber Snag.
It's your first if you're ever in a world of doubt, it's white, and then black. And we just hope we dodge the removal, because normally it's turn 2, the 7/7 flyer is going to win you the game anyway.
Yeah.
Probably.
You don't really care if you're not letting them play spells, you just don't want her to die.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
I mean, the card's super dangerous, and I think more than that deck is what it's going to do to Abzan Company.
That deck
was really good at like grinding out wins, but now it just gets to go find the win.
Next ban and restricted, Abzan Coco.
Because the whole deck.
Because like, so you any creature in your deck, you can find Viscera Seer, you can find Malira, you can find Anafinza, you can find Kitchen Finks. Any 2 drop in your deck, Wall of Roots, Voice of
Resurgence. It doesn't specify if it has to be a green creature?
No, it doesn't on either aspect of it. It's just you sack a creature, you find a creature. So any 2 drop in the deck, Voice of Resurgence, Wall of Roots, you go find Murderous Redcap. So you can find the combo with your entire deck.
Why did they print this card?
Yeah, that card in Abzan Company makes it so much more consistent.
What did they do? Yeah, so.
They released the pigs.
I really like how the art.
The art is cool. I was looking at it earlier because I've got a couple of them now, and I was like, "Oh, this art is grueling."
I want to see it in foil.
I want to get the art altered where the pig busting out is Luke,
And he's like breaking out of this, oh, it's been so hot. Like, it's so hot in there. Or Jim Carrey coming out of the rhino's butt. And like, ugh, just like busting out.
That is a reference that I don't think many people actually get.
If you don't get it, please leave the stream.
If you didn't grow up in the 90s, you don't. Wait, Steven, do you get that reference?
What? You've never seen Ace Ventura? Oh, let me tell you a story.
Damn it.
He's watching people inside of a rhino robot, but the AC goes out, so he gets naked, and then he gets too hot, so he has to pull out from outside the rhino's butt, and people are watching him, just like this sweaty, nasty man coming out of the rhino's butt, just like, ugh, and he's like screaming unnecessarily.
People think the best scene in the movie. I mean, the movie is hilarious.
Yeah, there's like this group of tourists just like snapping photos of him, and then getting like really creeped out, because he's just making the worst facial expressions. Yeah.
Was that the first one or the second one?
I think that was the second one. Yeah, because the first one is the Miami Dolphins.
That's right. I don't like that one as much as
I like. This is the one where he goes to Africa.
Yeah, and he gets the head of the bat and all that. Yeah. Damn it, Steve!
Have you seen a wildebeest give birth?
Yeah, the first one that slices out.
This is way cooler. Oh,
yeah,
this is a rhino giving birth to Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that's fair.
90s Jim Carrey.
Which is probably how he was born in the first place, actually, if I had to guess.
You got a homework assignment. If you don't watch this by next week, you're not on the cast.
No, not next week. Man. Next Thursday. Tomorrow.
Oh, by... Okay, we're not getting into the next thing.
Not today.
We're not getting into this.
Not this again.
Not getting into the next situation.
Yeah, where's the
DFW Magic players apparently have scheduling problems whenever it comes to the definition of this next.
We don't know anything's happening. So, anyway.
No band changes. Probably no band changes into Fires.
I wonder if there will be band changes next band restricted.
If a card is going to push them into band changes.
Wait, you mean the next band restricted update or the one after that?
Oh, no, I'm talking about this band restricted.
So the next one.
Yeah.
The one coming up.
The one after this one.
Yeah, but the next one, that'll be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of
course, then again, they don't have to worry about a band change for like another year when they go back to another modern season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only doing one modern season a year means that they can just let it ride, and if people's FNMs fall apart, they really don't care.
So we'll have a band unrestricted change before the Modern Pro Tour, and that's typically
the next modern season
is the only time they have to, so unless we have another Eldrazi Winter come up, like another card that does something like that, they don't have, like, if something's just kind of out of control, they don't have to do anything until next season. So if they have a card that's coming down the pipeline that they think is going to fix a problem, they can just let it ride until that prints. But the one card that is going to... I think this Eldritch Evolution is the one card to watch if something's going to cause a ban. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And there's a couple other here. Like we looked at Whispers of Emrakul, Coax of the Blind Eternities. Mm-hmm. All things that are good, but nothing on the power of Eldritch Evolution.
All these cards just make decks more consistent.
Yeah.
Like there's a number of cards from this set that are going to be seeing modern play, but they're just going to make cards more... Thalia will see play.
Yeah.
They're just going to make things more consistent. The only thing that's like, oh, that's broken is this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that can change that, you know, that Wizards probably does keep an eye on is the SCG Tour, because they're doing modern events every other weekend for their primary event at least. That might have some effect, but I don't think we get to the point where they're going to just like.
That's what I mean. Like, if
ringing bells and, you know, lighting churches on fire or whatever.
If there's another Eldrazi problem, they'll address it. But if it's like something kind of small and they're like, but in Aether Revolution, we're gonna have an answer to that. Then they're just gonna let it ride.
We print this sweet new Tezzeret.
Stared lovingly.
That plane is a good plane. That's a good plane for Tezzeret to come back in.
Yep. Yeah.
There's bots and things.
Just make it good with Sword of the Meek.
I'm actually a little hopeful for what Kaladesh and Aether Revolt will bring for Affinity and Modern.
Let me explain something to you.
Let me snap some knowledge on
this guy's ready to rain
once,
on a parade.
Once every 5 years, Wizards tries, and that's called Shadows or Innistrad. And the rest of the time, they have interns that do everything, and it's trash.
Yeah.
So flavor wise and majority of card wise, it's going to be trash.
Rosewater goes on vacation. So Matt Lauer goes. Everybody goes on vacation.
I am hoping though that this new set they print wastes and that they go into some of this. They actually start exploring that colorless aspect.
Oh yeah.
I really hope they didn't introduce that just for one set and then leave.
Yeah.
Because it's like that's so much potential of design space you guys haven't used yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need to essentially be tied to Eldrazi.
No.
Like you know you can.
That's the only problem of using the waste term. Is that kind of. But
and the same with a merge. You can't have a merge anywhere else.
Whenever you're making your contraptions.
Oh, I guess like, whenever you make your contraptions, you've absorbed all the energy out of the stuff, so no longer does that have a color.
We solved it.
That's fine.
Contraptions, call right now. And
you can fix it in color. So I'm really hoping they do that more. And if they do, I mean, that's when they're going to push cards for your affinity deck, is yeah. if they bring back colorless casting.
Yeah.
That would be when they make those pushes, and your deck doesn't care. That's fine.
Yeah.
I have it. That deck's still sleeved. I'm just looking at these Ravagers like, do I sell you? Do I sell you? Or are we ever going to come back? I don't know if we will.
Maybe. So
I think this is Drew on the chat here. I'm not sure.
Who is it?
Panther King 7.
Panther King, I doubt
this. I have no idea. Panther King 7, who are you?
Yeah, so he's saying no Tezzerets. I'm hoping for Dak Faden and Kaladesh. Also,
not Drew.
Also hoping
for Dak Faden has blue in it.
Also hoping for the return of Metalcraft.
Whoa.
I mean, Metalcraft would be sweet. Yeah. I would like to see a new mechanic that rewards you for artifact count.
Yep.
So we've had Affinity and we've had Metalcraft, and give us another one would be pretty sweet. Yep. But they'll probably save another mechanic for that when we eventually do go back to Mirrodin.
To Mirrodin, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. Or unless Kaladesh isn't Mirrodin in disguise, because it's
unless Chandra doesn't know where she's
diverging timelines. Because we have that now.
We do. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Kaladesh is just actually mirrored and pure.
I don't think they're going to, like, do it. I don't think... That's one thing that's sad and cool, is I don't think they're going to actually let the timeline change impact anything else.
Probably not. Because
that's just too big of a mess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we will go back to Mirrodin, because I think when that came out last time, they did say that this mirrors the original three Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
The Mirrodins win, then the Mirrodins lose, and then the Mirrodins win. So we have...
Yeah.
We have, like... The first movie, the rebels blow up the Death Star. The second movie, Hoth gets just obliterated.
Yeah,
third
movie, Scars of Mirrodin is Empire Strikes Back. The entire block is Empire Strikes Back. Yeah,
100%.
So yeah, that's about it for modern stuff.
Thanks for running the originality of that.
Oh,
guys,
did you really think Wizards is original about anything?
Did you not see Force Awakens?
I wish I kind of had.
Wizards has no originality.
Moment. Yeah.
It's just fun watching them and Hearthstone steal from each other.
Even when it comes to their promos, they're not very original.
Yeah.
So
I was looking at Jacewind's Prodigy earlier. That is 100% the dude from the crappy Fantastic Four that plays the main character.
Yeah,
the guy who plays Mr. Fantastic on there.
If you look
at Jacewind's Prodigy's face on the front side, the human side.
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller.
Absolutely right. It is.
And then you have.
And so now we know who's gonna play. Yeah. So now we know who's gonna play Jace in the movie. Think about it. In the comic books
when
of Marvel, they redid Nick Fury to look like Samuel Jackson before they ever announced him being part of the thing.
Yeah,
and then they've
done it with all of the characters. Like Tony Stark looks like Robert Downey Jr. in the comic books. I mean, he already looked like him to begin with, but
know it. It's leaked.
Yeah,
Of course. Like, watch the next Jason gonna look very different, because they'll be like, we watched that Fantastic Four. We want nothing to do with you, Miles.
We've seen him as a memory dub, and he has like stupid anime hair. We've seen him as cool Miles Teller. Probably gonna get the Rock version of Jace next.
Jace with like cut off sleeve robe and his fanny pack that he keeps all his tools and utensils in. That would be the best, please.
Sometimes you gotta peel it, Sean. That's how you do it, guys.
I can't wait for that dude to run for president. That's gonna happen. I did an interview recently. He was like, president sounds cool. And I go, yes, I would vote for you in a heartbeat. I don't care what your platform is.
He can do all right.
Like, let's see. Putin thinks he's tough because he rides on a horse shirtless. Come talk trash to our president. Our president is like the 6-time WWE champion or whatever it was. Like, oh, yeah.
Putin is he's like way deep in some martial arts though.
Is he really?
I forget what it is.
He looks like a 90s father, where he's got like sweatpants, like the shirt tucked in, and like sandals and socks and stuff. But he actually does a lot of like training.
I'm kind of curious now, James. Get on the Google for us.
So he's 8th degree black belt in. So the Washington Times is saying 8th degree black belt in karate.
Wow.
Now keep in mind though, he also is president, so like in his sparring matches he has to win to get the next belt level. It's like if he starts to lose, just that guy suddenly has this weird piece of metal in his head. I don't know where that came from. Like, so he just probably like it was like a 3-week course black belt.
little polonium for whoever hit him a little too hard.
I thought we were making political statements on the show tonight, guys.
Oh, I can't help that.
That's okay. Alright.
It's because the promo for this month of Magic. What's spatial contortion.
Damn it. No. I'm not humoring you, Steven.
Well, you just did, but keep going. Keep it on.
Just now. Anyway, so, also on, I believe it was Monday, or was it yesterday, we got these promos announced. Was it yesterday? Whatever day it was, we now know the identities of the San Diego Comic-Con Planeswalker promos. And
whoa.
The only reason I care about them is because James gets them every year.
Yeah, so I have the first three.
Yep.
I think there's only three.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. There was some confusion. People thought there might have been one that existed beforehand.
Yeah,
but
I saw somebody comment.
I only think there's three.
I saw somebody comment, and they're like, well, it was only Black on Black last year. And I'm like, no.
No.
I have 3 years of Black on Black Planeswalkers. So these ones, I mean, the zombie version art of the...
Yeah, they're zombies.
The Oath.
Which
is,
I get, but at the same time, I don't get.
I mean, I guess it's like the flavor of like...
It's actually set.
And it ties into like Comic-Con a lot. You know, like there's a lot of like the Walking Dead stuff going on.
But why not release this in like around Halloween?
Well, because it's our most recent set was Eldritch Moon. Around Halloween is getting close to Fires of Kaladesh, and it would be like completely unrelated. Then.
No. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, like this. So these Comic-Con's next weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's either this upcoming weekend or it's this weekend. So this weekend is also when Eldritch Moon comes out. So the weekend that Eldritch Moon releases, here's all your heroes zombified.
Yeah.
Except for Liliana.
Except really what it is Wizards are just trying to figure out if they can, you know, get away with the revamp of the Lorwyn 5. So would they be mad if we actually killed them?
I do like how like Liliana's art is pretty much the same, but it's less like come at me, bro, and it's more like look what I did. They're all zombies.
Chase is like eating a brain.
Yeah,
Sean is all ashed. Like they look cool to me. It just looks like somebody paid an artist to alter their cards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which kind of reduces the coolness a little bit.
And so Eric Deschamps did the art for all five. So like we mentioned already, we're getting Liliana, the Last Hope, Gideon, Allies, Undercar, Jace, Unraveler of Secrets. Is that actually a brain? It is a brain.
He's eating a brain.
I thought it was like an ocarina. No. And he was like, you know.
Ocarina?
zombie ocarina player.
This is again because they steal everything. So if you've ever seen the show iZombie, the girl gets information by eating the brains of the people that she does autopsies on. So this is how he's getting secrets, is eating somebody's brain.
That's
actually kind of cool show.
I mean, the thing for me, the thing I'm bummed about is, like, the black-on-black art always looked so sweet.
Yeah.
It stands out on the table. Like, the moment you play one of those, like, some people know what it is, and they're like, oh, that's super cool. How'd you get that? And then, like, so many opponents are like, what the hell is that? Is that legal?
And they can't even read it either because the black is so hard to read.
The best time to do it is when you play it and your opponent goes, like, you're not allowed to play with proxies. Like, you're so angry. Yeah. And you're like... I'm just cooler than you. Like,
yeah.
You don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
So we also got Shadowflame Caller, who is literally a pile of smoke. But I think it was pretty cool. And then this is the voice of Zendikar, who looks very similar to the pacifism art from the core sets.
Yeah.
Interesting. Which I think is pretty neat. But yeah.
I mean, one of the only problems I have is Chandra's this pile of smoke. And zombies typically don't react well with fire, so why is she not just like this mound of ash with just goggles sitting on top? That would have been sweet.
I mean, she is pretty sunken in. You know?
She is pretty sunken. That would have been cool to just like a mound of ash and just these goggles sitting on top of it, and be like, I shouldn't have turned her into zombie.
I like how Gideon's his right arm is hanging off of his neck, like on a necklace. He's like, it's like a Tassiger thing.
Yeah, he's all brutal up.
Attach it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're cool, and then but like James said, they're not the black on black.
They will have a higher probably value than some of the black on blacks just because it's a new thing, and they probably won't ever zombify planeswalkers.
Yeah,
again for a while.
So. Yeah, that's very true.
It'll be a one time.
It's super flavorful. I mean, that's
and apparently this Gideon and this Nissa are modern playable.
Yeah.
Well, there was Sam Party played them both at the the last modern PT, I think, in a token deck. Now I could be completely wrong on this, like, and James, you'll know. Did they ever reprint the same Planeswalker black on black, or was it always a new iteration of it? I don't know.
Chandra Pyromaster was
twice.
Yeah.
Right, because we got Living Guild Pact for Jace, and...
Wait, we got what for Jace?
Not Living Guild Pact.
Oh, well, no, that card didn't exist, right?
Yeah,
it
did.
It never got played.
But that's the one that they picked for him last go around.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which one they actually used.
They used the 5-mana one.
Memory Index. But these are all the most recent iterations of the Planeswalkers that they're mm-hmm. printing. So they're pretty sweet. They're going to go for a couple hundred dollars online, probably.
Yeah.
MSRP is about $99, and if you're not at Comic-Con, you will literally not get one, more than likely.
Yeah.
Black eye.
All right.
So are you trying to say you don't want James to unravel the secret?
Yeah.
I'll fight you too.
He'll eat my brain.
I'll fight everybody in this apartment.
He'll play my ocarina.
That's what I thought it was. I mean, he is like
you're adorable.
He is summoning Epona.
His little hero can't be tamed.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this zombie, what would I assume is in his head that's next to his mouth? A musical instrument. Music Man. Like, just Jace marching down the aisle of Music Man, just playing his ocarina. All the people are following him and dancing.
Can we get a Thriller SDC? Planeswalker?
A what?
Thriller?
Oh, that'd be, dude, that'd be sweet. Yeah, that'd
no,
be cool.
If he's playing an ocarina, we'll get out of them dancing the Macarena.
Yeah, yeah, that's
fine. I'm waiting for
I made a huge mistake.
our carnival block to come out, so the San Diego Comic-Con ones are like carnival character ones. Chandra's the bearded lady. Gideon and Jace are clowns. Like, bring me those planeswalkers.
I was hoping it, like, Carnival, not
Carnival. No, I'm thinking straight Barnum and Bailey planeswalkers.
That's
give me
creepy,
those.
Creepy, though.
Yes! No. That's so much scarier than zombies. If Jace has clown makeup on, it's over.
Yeah.
But it's like It.
Yes!
And It oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Sean's getting cerebral on us.
Sounds like It sculpted your mind.
I've seen it once.
Don't you get it? Don't you start this? We've got a pretty good show.
James isn't very good on the puns, but you're hitting like I would call it a bad 2000 tonight.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else in the chat right now asking any questions, or are they just trolling us right now?
No, it was Shuffles. It's Panther King 7. So.
Oh, Shuffles.
Oh, what's up, yeah. Shuffles?
Hey, man.
Cool.
He said Stephen King inspired Planeswalkers.
What?
I mean, you brought up It, so.
Yeah, that would be cool. A whole series of, like, of inspired horror planeswalkers. I mean, we steal stuff anyway.
Chandra is Kathy Bates from Misery.
Yes. I mean, because if you think about it, this makes sense. Like, they've been stealing everything they can for story arcs, which is fine. Like, you're taking things that are known to succeed. So yeah. Comic movies are popular, so they took combo characters. And they said, well, what's something cool to have with combo characters? Marvel did a zombie series, so now let's zombify them. Like, it's cool. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Oh, what if we get, like, the...
I trust their theft ideas better than their pure ideas.
So we... I'm just saying, Jason Macarena. So we've got Marvel Zombies. They've done a animal version of all of their characters, too. Can we...
reach no! Out to the furries? Patronuses from when Fantastic Beasts comes out, right here. Oh! Right. Just straight
hey, those
copyright
look sick, black
infringement.
On black.
That would look sick because they would be in silver.
Yeah.
Oh, just pay the copyright laws. Doesn't matter.
They don't have to call it a Patronus. It can just be spectrally versions of
themselves. Yeah, like spectral me's.
What if they're like black on black, but they're also semi-translucent or something?
Just make them like iridescent.
Actually, some lower opacity planeswalkers would be cool on you.
Yeah.
Like clear, clear cards with just the text. Being written.
Oh. But those would get dirty really easily.
Not double sleeve.
No, I'm just saying, like,
those would never get dirty. If they got dirty, you would take them from whoever made them dirty and you would not give them back.
James would buy every copy in the existence and put them on like a carbon case. Yeah. Like, nothing touches this. I'm in the atmosphere.
Well, the problem is
time doesn't touch
you can't clear sleeve them because you can't put the magic back on.
Yeah.
You can't make them a clear card. Or you make them a clear card, and with every one comes an insert.
Checklist.
Every one.
What if they're like completely reflective, like a purely like almost mirror surface that has just like, I don't know how you would make it even look. But
I think
they're
that'd
just,
be too like Yu-Gi-Oh. Like,
well, I mean, we've already got fusion cards now, so it's one step closer.
You're really down on Meld, by the way. I think I've heard you dog on Meld like four episodes.
Oh no, it's cool. I think it's super neat, especially if you do like fusion. But
he was down until he got to play children's games with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
whenever he got to bring back the imagination station, he was all on board.
And there's our episode title, Imagination Station. All right. Good job, Sean.
Thanks, man.
Good job.
I won't make a pun, but I'll make a title.
There you go.
So another question from Patrick. What card that was not seeing much play will start seeing play with addition of new cards?
It's standard. I assume.
Yeah, I think he's talking.
Endless Ranks of the Dead.
Maybe.
I mean, like, if a zombie deck can pop up, Compelling Deterrence is probably one of the most powerful cards in their deck.
Yep.
I think Rattle Chains is gonna.
Rattle Chains is gonna.
Yeah, I think it's any well. Spirit really. I didn't see Playo at this from Ireland.
Yeah, Rattle Chains is gonna start popping a lot because like Saito showed us the last set that this Blue Red Flyers deck was good because it could go over top.
Yeah.
And so Rattle Chains is one of the best cards in their deck, but being able to give your other non-flash spirits flash is really strong. But more importantly, being able to protect your spell queller after it eats a removal spell is really important.
I mean, just like. There's four lines of text on Rattle Chain.
It does,
and it's a 2-mana, 2-power flyer.
I forgot the other day that it gave other spirits flash, and I was 100% on board with the card. And then I realized it gave other spirits flash. I'm like, so my Coco into Rattle Chains makes most of my other deck have flash. Okay,
yeah,
we're in.
Yeah.
So, I think that's pretty good.
I did buy 27 copies of it just to be safe. So.
That's actually a pretty good investment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 93 cents a piece. So.
Yeah. Because if that card gets that card pops up in play, it's gonna pop up in play as 4-ups most likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to like occasionally give Spellqueller hex, but you're gonna run more Rattle Chains than you run Spellquellers.
Yeah.
You'll run 2 or 3 Spellquellers and you run 4 Rattle Chains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But given how many James got, that has to show up as a 3-0.
Yeah. Well, he has 1 extra copy laying around then. Or no, 2.
No, no, no.
3 extra copies laying around.
Or you can just divide it in 3.
I bought enough to cross over $25 to get free shipping.
He has enough to make 8 decks for 8 friends.
So you need one more to make it even sets?
I might have an extra one.
You better, because otherwise it's really going to eat at me that you left it this weird, awkward number.
Yeah. Wait, Rattle Chains is at $4 right now?
So flipping right.
Whoa,
now.
Flipping right.
Did he already spike? I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah,
I should have.
You did it in the
I have 2
time period of this
in
episode.
That span of time.
Yeah. I have 2 play sets sitting
triggered
home.
A buyout.
Yep. I would think the other card will be, or one of the cards will be Kozlek's Return, if this emerge deck takes off.
Wow. Dang it! I should have. I had 2 play sets.
But $1 low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No move yet. But yeah, what were you saying? I was saying Kozlek's Return probably is another card that we'll see.
Yeah, Kozlek's Return, the emerge cards really punished with Kozlek's Return. Like, Elder Deep Fiend's pretty sweet with Kozlek's Return, but really the Mindbender is insane with Kozlek's Return. Because, like, in most matchups, if you go Matter Reshaper on turn 3 and somehow you like, pitch to Kozlek's Return, or turn 3 with Kozlek's Return, turn 4 Matter Reshaper, and then turn 5 you Mindbender, you're going to take 2 cards from most deck's hands.
Yep.
And then you're also going to wipe their board, and you're going to have this 5-5, and you're going to have the trigger off the Matter Reshaper. So, like, you're going to have just, like, all these things happening.
Jeez.
The Emerge decks definitely want value plays, like Catacomb Sifters, Elvish Visionaries, Matter Reshapers, but, I mean, there's... Those are just trans dangerous.
Yep, yeah. But we'll definitely see, I think, plenty of... There'll be something that breaks out this weekend. Maybe not in a huge way, but there'll be a deck tech on it somewhere, and everybody's just going to go, then why didn't we think of this?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is so cool.
So to his question cards, to make sure you have 4 of, have 4 Rattle Chains,
yep.
have 4 Kozlek's Returns, have 4 Matter Reshapers, because those have already started climbing,
yep.
Have 4 Sanctum of Ugin's.
Yes.
And those are your cards you really want.
Because
you really want to be able to go, like a Grixis deck where you have like 2 Mindbenders and like 3 Deep Fiends, and you have Sanctum of Ugin's to go find those guys, like it's pretty good.
Yep.
Even if you can Mindbender... Then attack for 5, and then on the end of your opponent's turn, sack the Mindbender, pay 2 blue for your Deep Fiend, flashback another Kozlek's Return or something. Like
you are singing my language over here.
It's board state. Like there's board states where that will work. There's board states where you won't want to do that. But
yeah.
If you're flashing back a Kozlek's Return, almost every board state you want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Shuffles has a question. Can the essence or can the existence of a merge mechanic help make Teemer colors exist in Standard again?
No, well, I don't think the Emerge would do that, because I don't think the Teemer deck wants the Decimator of Provinces.
Yeah.
I think the Decimator of Provinces is more like a green-black or a green-white like tokens list.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think green is getting pulled by the Emerge. I think grindy green-black decks with Mindbender and blue-red decks and Bant Coco decks with Deep Fiend are where the Emerge decks
Yeah,
are.
The only reason that Bant is one of the predominant color combinations right now is because of Collected Company.
Right.
All of the cards in it just go with it.
Yeah, and the shard colored mana bases are easier to do than the
But there's no payoff to playing Grixis or Esper right now. It's just Bant.
You go green black with the Mindbender because you're able to have removal and hand disruption to keep them from being able to kill your Mindbender and blow you out. And his cast means that he gets to take 2 cards before he resolves, so you get to take the removal spells.
Yeah.
And then the Bant Company deck because you have the company to replace it. The blue-red deck, because you have the draw spells to make it where the Deep Fiend getting killed doesn't hurt you as much.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not as much of a payoff for the Teemer as much right now. There's not a lot of creatures that go across those three colors that you're like, oh, I need to do this.
Yeah, that are just screaming, just play us.
Like a green, black, or a Jund, and then like red, blue, and Bant are the three emerge decks, I think.
But yeah, I mean, it could happen. If it happens this weekend, it'll happen. Yeah. Or the Pro Tour, it'll happen.
It'd be really interesting because I think the Teemer would probably be the best place to play Jace in Standard right now. Like some sort of...
Because you have some mana spells.
You have the mana spells, and then also, like, if you ever draw an emerge creature without the payoff, like, you just get rid of it, so it's really simple.
Oh, yeah.
It's an easy way to put Kozilek's Return in the yard.
And you can discard it and then pull some Rasa back later against aggressive decks.
Yeah. I guess it being a thing.
It definitely could be a thing. I'm leaning more
to it. It has to be quick enough to keep up with Collected Company.
Right. I'm leaning more the other way. Yeah. I do think that there's a good green black or Abzan go wide deck right now, probably out there, that runs like Nissa for tokens, and it runs like Catacomb Sifter and Blister Pod and Elvish Visionary. And it just kind of like runs all these value go wide guys. And then a Decimators.
Yeah.
And one of the creatures that you're going to run is probably going to be the emerge green guy that makes 2/1s. That's a 4/4. Because you emerge him out, and then you can emerge Decimator off him, or he's just 3 bodies for really cheap. You also, in the Abzan colors, you can still do the combo of Zul'Bor Cutthroat, Eldrazi Displacer, and the guy who makes 3 Scions. So you still have that combo in your deck.
Yep.
So I think those are the routes you're probably going to go. As far as Decimator's deck, this is Abzan color. The Aristocrats deck that was popular before.
Yep. Yep. So, is that the only question we have left?
That's the last one we got.
Cool. Well, I think that wraps it up for tonight. We're on a sweet hour and 30-minute episode. It's a pretty good stopping point right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've covered a lot of ground. Some heavy story months that Sean wants to see come to fruition. And so do I.
I got a little overhyped there. So
it's okay.
For our listeners, I'm sorry for the drain.
There was a 15-minute rant in there that the whole thing was going to go completely discombobulated.
I was getting the idea as I was talking, and I couldn't stop. I was like, this is so good.
That's okay. That's what the show's for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it just comes in a flash.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man. He agreed on yet another one.
I'm 2 for 2 for tonight.
Walked him into it.
Stop Llama.
That's the problem with me being in a good mood thinking about Nicol Bolas.
I'm letting you guys. So every week, mention Nicol Bolas. Sean's in a good mood and agrees with puns.
Yeah.
I can work with that. Yeah, sure.
You
sure.
Win Sean's favor that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. It's like the Hunger Games. All right. But I think that about wraps up for this week. We will find out what happens to Standard next week. And I'm sure something stupid's going to happen in Magic. We'll get to talk about it then, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe
nothing
will.
And Vintage Cube.
Yeah, and more Vintage Cube, yes.
I'm just happy it's Modern Season.
Oh, yes.
That too.
Totally.
Yeah. Alex gets to put on his PPTQ jacket. I don't actually have the jacket yet.
Do it. First, you need to get podcast shirts.
Working on that.
Okay.
I need to talk to Cole. Working on that. But yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. So yeah, Modern Season's coming up. Vintage Cube. New Standard this weekend. It's a good time to be a Magic player, I think. I mean, it's always a good time to be a Magic player. Right now, it feels especially good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Want to say big thanks to James, Holly, Sean, and Steven for coming out tonight, guys. Thank you all so much.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thank you for
having
us. Yeah, always. We got the band back together. The original four.
Yeah.
We're like the Beatles.
They accomplished a whole lot more than any of us.
Yeah. I'm just saying. When you're going to compare to somebody...
Which of us is Ringo? That awkward moment when we realized...
Well, you have the hair that looks like...
I already know who I am just because of my name.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah. Come back again next week. Check us out. Check us out tomorrow. Steven and I doing our weekly Vintage Cube draft. It'll be sweet. Probably about 7 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It'll be great.
Well, it'll be Thursday. You guys are probably, if you're listening to this, it'll probably be right now.
Right. Time is weird. It's all timey-wimey and stuff. But yeah, check us out every week. Facebook, EOT Newsflash. Twitter, at EOT Newsflash. Gmail, at EOTNewsflash@gmail.com. Twitch, twitch.tv/EOTNewsflash. We're everywhere now. Come listen to us. And
I would definitely say follow
Instagram, right?
Follow the Facebook page, and that way, whenever we're going to do a podcast, you can like give us some of these live questions because the questions are really cool. It's fun to ask questions.
I'm going to try. I want to do this at least twice a month because I know this is kind of it's a new thing. And it's hard to get the kinks all worked out.
It was Patrick and Chris, right?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for those. I think they add a lot to it.
Yeah, Patrick was on last week. Got to meet him in person at the pre-release. So that was cool. But yeah, keep sending the question, guys. Keep talking to us during the chat. And yeah, we will talk to everybody next week. Yeah. Steven, you want to do it?
Let's do it again.
Yeah. Oh, God.